Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season and enjoy getting the nutrition you need. There are endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, Rod and I are live here about 15 minutes after the 49ers just kind of dismantled the Indianapolis Colts there in the second half. A game in which we got to see Philip Rivers play again. Felt like 2010 for some reason, watching this dude throw non-spirals all over the field, and we still couldn't stop it for the majority of this game. But even before the game started, because the Lions lost on Sunday, the Niners were already in the playoffs, and now with this win, they and Seattle, the Niners even more so than Seattle, control their own destiny. If the Niners win out, they win the division. If Seattle wins out, they win the division. I don't know how it breaks down as far as them and the Rams, if people are losing games, but the Rams have the easiest schedule of the three teams left. The Niners have the hardest schedule of the three teams left. So, you know, if the Niners can beat the Bears next week, then it makes that Seattle game super duper interesting. Bears are a good football team, though, so that is not one that you can just put in the win column. But yeah, so this game kind of like there was not that any steam was taken out of the importance, because the Niners obviously had to continue winning if they want to control their own destiny. But being that they were in the playoffs already, I was like, wow, like, you know, this is really turning into a really good season, even if we don't see the Niners necessarily as, you know, a top three team in the NFL. But here's how I want to start this. I want to ask you this question, because we've been talking about this over the last several weeks. The defense is going to be the defense. I'm not sure they're going to be much better than we've seen of late. But the offense, we thought the offense had another level that it could get to. And today, I think, was the best the offense has been all season long. Does this give you any thoughts that if this is the Brock that we see and your guy Kittle got loose like you've been thinking he was going to get loose all season long, CMC went for over 100 rushing, if this is the offense that is truly the 49ers offense, do they have a shot to come out of the NFC?
That's a tall order because of the defense. I just think because of the teams that we would be up against, I just don't know that winning shootouts is going to get you where you get you to Levi, you know, the first week in February or whatever it is. But I will, to your point, if they can, even more so than Brock, who was tremendous today, if they can run the ball the way that they ran the ball tonight, it makes it very interesting. I still have questions. I am not sold on DeMarcus Robinson. I don't know if Juwan Jennings in, against good defenses can be your number one receiver. Can you count on Ricky? I don't know that he can be your number one receiver against good defenses. And then the $64,000 question is what's going on with George? Because if he's hurt, you know, it makes it, I'm not, at this point with this team, I'm not going to say anything is over because they have just shown themselves to be so resilient, which, by the way, I spent a lot of time arguing online to the irrational exuberance. I don't mean to be that guy, but sometimes it's just ridiculous. But, you know, if we want to, you give this team credit for what they have done. And, you know, but I just think when you're making all the arguments that I hear about all the injuries and, you know, it goes on and on about the record. You can only play the teams that are on the schedule. They've done a good job of winning those games. But, you know, the graphic was going around this week about, you know, since they lost to Tampa and they lost Warner, what their record is. And I think that's great. But you also have to acknowledge, if we're going to cover the whole thing, that the teams that they've beaten are 25 and 65. So again, they won the games. And I've enjoyed watching this team and it has been great. But you have to, that context matters. And as we move forward, it will continue to matter. I thought that they would get a better game today than they got. I watched in preparation for today. I watched that Seattle Colts game, and they looked really good last week. But I don't know what it was that what happened with their defense, because they didn't have Mooney or Sauce last week either. But it really seemed to affect, I don't know what affected them. You mentioned as we were coming on that they did not have any, there was no pressure really at all on Brock.
And Buckner was back today. I know they've been waiting for that dude to get healthy and he was back today.
Yeah. And they were able, it was almost like Kyle was able to do whatever he wanted. When he wanted to run it, they were, you know, Christian at one point, I don't know what he ended up with.
117. I think he had 65 on 9 carries or something in the first half.
It was 5.6 is what he ended up with. And for most of the first half into the third quarter, his average was hovering around 7 yards a carry. Yep. So it was dealer's choice. If he wanted to run it, he could. When they went up, when he wanted to pass it, he had short, intermediate, and deep all. It was like dealer's choice, literally. Whatever they wanted, it seemed like was there. And I don't think there's any, I didn't look at it, but, and sometimes points can be, you know, that's like a lazy man's way of doing it. But I think this was the best offensive performance of the season, don't you think?
It felt like it. And they talked about it on the broadcast. You know what? I love Buck and Aikman together so much. Mm-hmm. And it has not always been like that. Like, Troy, for whatever reason, it feels like the beginning of Troy's career and maybe through the middle of his career, he was so stiff. And now he kind of lets his personality out. And Buck, too. Buck was, you know, and Buck has even said this in the past. He said that I'm actually reading a new book on Madden and Summerall. And Joe Buck does the foreword of it. And he said, you know, early in my career, all I was trying to do was a Pat Summerall impersonation, and I realized that only Pat Summerall could be Pat Summerall. Like, I could not do it, so I actually did have to show some personality. But I love those guys together, And one of the things that they said was the explosive plays, like those over 20 yards.
Yes.
That the Niners were not able to do that for much of the year. And I think in the first half, they had like four of them alone in the first half.
Yeah, the big one, George. Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Now Shelvin has the thing in the chat about the defense needs to tighten up. And the way that I look at it is the defense is basically going to be what the defense has been last week and this week, which is they should have taken care of some things so that the game was not as close as it was. Now, D Winners gets a pick six at the end of this game that stretches this thing out. But I think the defense is going to be who they are. They are an average defense. I think they have some young guys who fly around who actually can make some plays in the secondary, but they also don't get anything in the pass rush. So they kind of offset each other. But
well, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. People have been shitting on me because I have made the point that I do not disagree that Collins and Wes are very talented players, but I've been watching their tape all season and they do things like that. You'll see them split a double team or you'll see them crush a guard, but then they don't make a play. Well, today, both of them made plays. Yeah. And that is one of the reasons why I was so glad that they didn't go hog wild trying to get, replacement level players in here, for a playoff push. You need to let these young guys play and figure out what you've got and let them figure it out. Because since these guys, I know Collins missed some time early, but we're getting to the point in the season where these guys are no longer rookies anymore. You know, when we get into the playoffs, now playoffs are different, obviously, but they have 17 games under their belt. Mm-hmm. And they have, fortunately, instead of, giving them those reps to the Leonard Floyds or whoever release guys that, guys that had got released or are at home, rather than giving those reps to them or sharing those reps with them, they've got them and they are better now and will be better moving forward. So, I mean, that is a good thing, but you are right. Tatum Bethune was making some plays and he was at a point where you were saying, well, he is a young guy who is a playmaker, but then he got hurt again. Yeah. So it was the ankle again. So it seems that that's going to be, because obviously it's not going to get any better in the next month.
Yeah, as he's playing on it.
If he's out there playing, so that's going to be, what it is. So I think you are 100% right that this is just kind of what it is. And hopefully, I had read an article today that, where Saleh was quoted that, they've long given up on yards and any of those other really defensive metrics. Basically, they're just trying to keep teams from scoring.
Yeah.
And, if you can hold them to field goals rather than touchdowns, that's where they're at. They're going to finish in most statistical categories at the bottom of the league at this point. That's just, it's just what it is. But you just hope that, to your point, if this offense can, if they can bottle what they brought today through the next month, it could be interesting. It could really be interesting.
And so I do want to, I'm glad you made that point because they did make some plays the middle of the defensive line. And also, I was getting really annoyed with Phillip Rivers not being able to throw spirals and just walking down the field on us. And then I realized that part of what the Colts are doing is because every defense is going like, okay, like, Jonathan Taylor is your best player. Your quarterback one is out because of his Achilles tendon. We're going to force you guys to pass the football. And so Phillip Rivers, he had a pretty good game. If the defense could have held the Niners a little bit more, I would have thought that Rivers actually had a great game, but they couldn't. And he had to make some throws from behind where, you know, he's not able to throw the football down the field. And any time where he actually has to find a little bit of space in the pocket to give his receivers some time, it just was not going to happen.
It was painful to watch.
But I give credit. Now, this is how teams are playing Indy right now. So it's not like Sala like created this thing out of nowhere. Like this is how you have to play them right now. And they did a really good job with Jonathan Taylor. So I want to give them credit for that. However, my point was that if the defense is what it is now, I think that's how you have to look at it. This is what it is. We're going to have to win some of these games in the playoffs, scoring 28 and 35 points. That's just how they're going to have to do it. And Shanahan, you know, we've talked about his season this year, and he's probably not going to win Coach of the Year, whatever you think of those awards, but he has had to be a little bit of a chameleon as an offensive game planner this year. First part of the season, no Brock. A lot of teams just keying on McCaffrey, creating, you know, a lot of tough yards in certain situations where instead of going for the touchdown, they were having just to get into field goal position so that Eddie Pinheiro could bail them out. But now that the team outside of Pretty Ricky, obviously he was not there today, but outside of him, they looked like they were almost at full speed. And for Kyle to go, oh, I can call just about any play I want to call right now because of the weapons that I do have. Now, yeah, DeMarcus Robinson, is he going to see the field necessarily on big plays? No, he's probably not unless somebody gets hurt. He was able to step in today and make a big play. You know, Kendrick Bourne, congrats to Kendrick Bourne for getting over the yardage thing so that he made himself 500K today. Great. But nobody's afraid of Kendrick Bourne. So there is something with Pretty Ricky just for the ability for him to stretch the field. And we saw how he did it last week in Tennessee, but we also saw how, you know, all he did was get tackled on his leg and now he's out again. But, you know, it's the kind of tackle that they've kind of outlawed in the NFL for that reason. Yeah. But it's just like, man, you know, can your legs stand up for, you know, for anything? So now I wonder, is this Kyle's biggest flex if he can actually get this team in the playoffs and win a game or two with the kind of defense that they have out there? It might be his best coaching job ever. And this is a guy who's been to two Super Bowls. So there's lots of football left, two regular season games, then you go into the playoffs. But I do look at it as, man, you know, if we look at Kyle as one of the top guys in the league, and I think Troy Aikman said, you know, if I ever came back to the NFL, this is the guy I'd want to play for. Like, you know, and, it, you know, this, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he thought that maybe his offensive career is a little different if he had a little bit of a different offensive, you know, coach. But the guy also won three Super Bowls, so he can't really complain. But he sees what the Niners are able to do, and he's like, man, that looks like it would have been fun. So I guess the point really I'm wondering about, I don't even know how confident I am in it, but is this an opportunity for Kyle to really, really show out and prove how good of a game planner he is and a game caller? Because if today is kind of like Kyle giving us a little bit of a hint of what is to come, I think it's going to be a fascinating final 2 weeks of the season. And then, you know, we kind of see what happens in the playoffs. Because if the Niners are able to, now I don't, in my heart of hearts, I don't feel like this is going to happen. But if they're able to get home the you know, the top seed in the West, that changes the dynamics of this whole thing. To be able to play at home And hopefully your health is pretty decent at that point. You get that week off, possibly, if you're one of the top two seeds. That is an incredible run from what we thought this team was in the middle of this season.
I 100% agree. And I, you know, I'm not one that looks back because, you know, it is what it is at this point. But gosh, I wish we could add a quality receiver right about now. It would really change the dynamic because congratulations, Juwan had a great game. Robinson caught that touchdown pass, but they didn't have the, you know, Sauce and Mooney weren't out there, so they were playing against replacement level corners. So when you look at what the Bears are trotting out there and what Seattle is, you know, going to run out at us, it's going to be a different challenge. Mm-hmm. And you saw them try to get Sky Moore out there. But as Troy mentioned, Kyle said, is that, you know, Sky Moore is a different kind of receiver than we are used to having, which I took to mean he's not going to give you much in the block. He's not going to block anything mm-hmm. for you. So he just finds it with when you're trying to run the ball. I just can't imagine he feels comfortable having him out there at all, really, unless he's got a play specifically called for him. And, you know, he mentioned that he's looking forward to having him back here next year, but I just don't think that that's going to happen. I believe he's going to go the way of Ray Ray. He's going to have a good year as a returner, and somebody's going to pay him more than the minimum because sure. we've shown that, literally, I looked it up. We've never, in their history here, him and Lynch, we've never paid anybody over the minimum. Ray Ray is the most we've ever paid a returner slash receiver, and he was making the veteran minimum, which is actually Sky Moore is making a little bit more than that right now, and I just think somebody's going to sign him, and we'll end up drafting somebody, and that's how that'll go. But it's going to be interesting to see how we try to get some more juice out of the offense, because Juwan is great at what he does, but we really don't have anybody currently who is like a true X receiver. Mm-hmm. So and we had one, but, you know, never mind. Said, I understand.
Do you think my man was really driving 100 and some odd miles an hour over in Santa Clara? I'm so close. I probably should have heard his car if he was driving that fast.
Well, but you know what? That we're over there where he's at. I mean, it's like a glorified parking lot over there if it's not game day. So, I mean, it's reckless, yes, but with a caveat. It's a public street, but just barely.
Doing it for the clout, man. He's doing it for the YouTube.
Oh man, it's these young guys, boy. It's so frustrating.
The Dave Chappelle skit, should have never gave you money.
And it is crazy to see, Yeah, but he's getting to the point where, you know, he's damn near 28 years old. Being young is, you know, he's not really all that young anymore. I mean, Shador got a reckless driving ticket over the spring going over 100 miles an hour, but he's like 22 years old, which, I mean, that doesn't excuse it, but I'm not one who's going to pretend like when I was 21, 22 years old that I wasn't driving a little bit. I never went over the speed. As a matter of fact, I never went over the speed limit when I was 21 or 22 years old. I was at 10 and 2 and obeying. I was 2 miles under the speed limit all the time. Yeah, that's a lie.
You know, I don't know if my car could have gone 100 miles an hour.
I know. I'm sure mine could not. But what I was trying to find out how fast it could go. But yeah, it's a little different the older you get. The closer you get to 30, you know, we don't really, and we shouldn't, you know, that's not, your youth is not an excuse. And then I'm not one who's gonna, you know, which is just frustrating to me. I'm not one who's gonna make any kind of clinical diagnosis about what somebody is doing based on my Facebook, my Facebook intake of their behavior. But yeah, I hope that he's okay. And yeah, I know that, well, also what I know is that there's nothing that he has done over the past year that's going to dissuade anybody who believes that he can help them win football games from signing him. If they think, you know, that's just not how we have a long history of seeing that that's not how the NFL works.
He don't want to mess with his guarantee though. Like you don't want to give teams the leverage to lower your guarantee because they worry about how you handle certain things. So I would just chill on that stuff.
Yeah,
so that
I definitely would. But then it's like, I know Mark Davis will pay him whatever tomorrow. So there are always going to be people out there that are willing.
Davis would be in the car with him.
Absolutely. You know, so yeah. I just think Jed, if I could have a beer with Jed, picture that. If I could have a beer with Jed, that I would wonder why they felt the need to void that guarantee when they did, because I just feel like that ensured that he was not going to play this season, because why would he, you know, with that carrot off the table? Because I believe if you keep the carrot on the table, you're able to convince him to come back and like, look, for both of us, look, we know that this marriage is over, but we can help us both. If you go out there and you play well, it helps us win games and it helps you rehab your stock. And then we can work something out. We can trade you. You can't trade that contract now with no guaranteed money on it. Who's going to buy? You're basically trying to sell somebody else your trash. When, why would I want to start my relationship with him with that old business when I could just wait till June? Because look, you know, I know, we all know you can't bring him back here, even though you told Mike Silver that now without the guaranteed money, for example, his contract is only $1 million. That makes keeping him a lot more palatable. Shit, come on now. Nobody's doing this for another year. And so your two options are trading him, and nobody's trading for that contract, or releasing him. So if I know that, I'll just wait till June to trade for him. I'm sorry I took us down this road, because this is there's a lot that happened today that we could still talk about, that we could celebrate the good play of the day. Like, we haven't talked about George at all. He was amazing.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Yeah, so Brock, without Brandon Ayuk, was 25 of 34. 295, so just 5 yards short of 300. Five touchdowns. He did throw that one interception as... You know, they weren't quite burning out the clock. They were interestingly trying to add on. And it almost bit them. But then very soon thereafter, D. Winters was able to return a pick six and put the game out of reach. Christian McCaffrey, 21 for 117, long of 24. He scored two touchdowns on the receiving end, had six catches. And George, 7 for 115 and a touchdown. Juwan Jennings, 5 for 71 and a touchdown. And Demarcus Robinson had the other touchdown. Kendrick Bourne, three catches. And like I said, he hit that little landmark. And I think he's got two more games to maybe, I don't know what he's got left, like another 150 yards or something. He can get another bonus there. The defense... So you already mentioned Alfred Collins and C.J. West both had sacks. The secondary, you saw a lot of Upton Stout, a lot of Malik Mustafa, even a good amount of Luter, who got called for, I don't know, I thought it was a ticky-tack pass interference that he got called for. The biggest reason, if he committed pass interference on that specific play that I'm thinking of, it's because Philip Rivers underthrew the football.
Exactly.
And so it's kind of like, because he underthrew it, you know, Luter was able to bump into the receiver a little bit, but still, I didn't see that at all. And then poor Lenore got a penalty for trying to knock the ball out when the play was over. He got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Other than that, I thought the game was fairly clean. Brock got hit and fumbled, but Luke Farrell picked it up and ran for a 3 yard gain. Eddie Pinheiro almost hit a 64 yard field goal that hit the crossbar right dead in the middle. I was like, man, that dude kicked that thing with all his might, and he almost got it in. That would have been incredible, by the way, for them to have got that, and then they get the ball back, and then they could have scored again. That would have been crazy. But yeah, it was like from that perspective, it was one of the cleaner games of the season. Again, no Morstead punt. He's just hanging out, like trying to figure out stuff to do with the football and bouncing it and playing games. So. You know, the game, much like last week, we kind of talked about how, you know, the game last week was a little sleepier than this week, but like there's nothing really to be truly critical of. I would have to go back and look at the tape to see how the offensive line did, because Brock was almost clean. I think he got sacked one time. I didn't even feel like he had to escape very often, like I thought he did a little bit more of last week. So I'm going to guess, without seeing any of the PFL scores, that the offensive line just played tremendous game as well. So, I don't even know what to be critical about other than, you know, maybe Philip playing as well as he did. But again, like I said, it seemed like that was kind of the game plan, was to let him get his and for them to stop Jonathan Taylor. Was there anything critical on your end that you saw?
Not really. I've been here all season, so I was not, you know, surprised that we weren't getting any pressure, you know, but that was, you know, it, that continues to be a source of frustration that we just, you know, and I guess that's, you know, at this point, that's just what it's going to be. So I have to live with it. But yeah, I did not, other than that, really just how effective Phillip was throwing those ducks early was just, that was, you know, kind of frustrating, because it's like, how is that even getting there? But, you know, he's got, you know, and it was clear that, you know, he is able to, you know, there were several times early that Salah was trying to play games and show him blitzes and, you know, disguise coverages. And that guy, I said that earlier today, is that, you know, you know, you're not going to trick him, and, you know, he's going to pass every test when you show him the coverage, and hell, he could probably teach the class. So, I mean, in terms of trying to fool him with simulated blitzes and all of that, he just knows where to go with the ball. Now, the question is, at this point, is can he get the ball there? And that, you know, obviously, like you say, even in his prime, he wasn't like out there throwing tight spirals. But right now, it's it was pretty frustrating that we, you know, they obviously, I, you know, they talked about during the broadcast, Salah had said they, you know, even if they weren't able to sack him, they need to at least make him, get him off his spot and make him move his feet, which, as we saw, there were several times when that was necessary. And it was clear that he was 44 years old at that point. Yeah. So, but other than that, you know, it was kind of business as usual in my ugly. I kind of do a good, bad, ugly. The only thing that I have on there is injuries, the Tatum Bethune and, George, both with the ankles again. I didn't see anything noteworthy. I'll rewatch it tomorrow. I didn't see anything noteworthy really from Kendricks. I didn't really. Did he even make the box score? After he plays.
Yeah, he came in there at the end. He did not. He had two tackles. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah. Those are the only two. So there was really nothing that I could really, if I want to be really, really petty, I could talk about the fact that Bryce Huff is a good pass rusher and nothing else. He had that one play out there where he was in coverage and it was painful to watch. That's not his game. Mm-hmm. If you're asking him to do anything other than rush the passer, he's not very good at it. He's not very good in coverage. He's not really good against the run. But, you know, he can do that one. He's a one trick pony, but that one trick is pretty good in the right circumstance. But now that he's in a situation, he's in a situation where teams can actually double team him, which is not, that's not his game at all. He is, you know, built to be outside wide and just a speed rusher. He's not built to see double teams and chips and all that other stuff. So just the situation that we find ourselves in at defensive end just makes it so that even he can't be as effective as he normally would be, because, you know, Cleveland Farrell, no, he didn't get any pressures today. Did Sam do anything really? No, he's got tackles, but no. We had four quarterback hits. Oh, and we had the two sacks, and that feels about right. He was not under a huge amount of pressure. So yeah, that's just that. You know, that just continues to be, you know, frustrating. I was hoping that we would develop something. They said that my man was active, that Gross Mottos, but he's not in the box score, so I don't even know if he played.
I didn't see them call his name one time.
Yeah. So
Kittle said in the press conference, he said that he hurt his ankle in the second quarter on a hip drop tackle, which is the same way that Ricky got hurt last week. So he said they taped it up, ankle just kept getting worse and worse and worse. But he believes they avoided the high ankle, which, I mean, this is George Kittle's diagnosis. I don't think he's been looked at yet. So, like, I mean, that, you know, that's what he's hoping, right? For 100%.
Right, right.
He's hoping for not. So,
and you have to trust these guys because they know. They mean they you know, this is not their first rodeo. They, you know, they're, you know, obviously the MRI will tell all, but, you know, I would trust his initial diagnosis. What time is our game next week? Is it a primetime game?
It is
Sunday night.
Sunday night. Yes, Sunday night.
Those are great. Those are always great at Levi.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. At least on television. I mean, it would be a great game to go to as well. So whoever's going up to Robert Ramos is going. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I know. I've a lot of my college roommates were from Chicago, and they are apparently they're coming out. They're going to invade. They're going to invade Levi. Chicago is
good
time
to be a Bears fan, man. After all the years,
good for them, man.
Yeah,
good for them. You know, it has been. They have had a hell of a trip. I'm, you know, obviously not rooting for them this week, but I am happy for them and their excitement with the goings on. So, yeah, I think that you know, the playoffs start for us next, not technically because we are in, but I think these, obviously, Seattle, if we can win next week, that Seattle game is going to be, you know, as big as any play, if we both win and it is for the division and the number one seed, that, you know, that is as big as a playoff game, really. So, yeah, these next few weeks of the regular season are going to be awesome.
So the Bears, great story, because they lost their first two games of the season and the Lions put 52 on them in week two. And since then, they are 11-2. The only losses since then are to the Ravens. And then a couple weeks ago, they lost a close one to the Packers, but then they beat the Packers again this week. So they're on a nice roll. Now, if you are kind of wondering how the Niners may think about playing them, they are second in the entire NFL in rushing yards. Caleb is having a solid year, definitely a solid year, but he's not. You know, he is not killing teams through the air. They're a little bit more of a balanced kind of attack. Their points for and their points against isn't fantastic. So some of this is probably very similar to what the Niners are, in that some of it is just based on the fact that they're playing a lot of bad teams. And there's nothing wrong with that either, because,
well,
like you said in the beginning, that you just got to play who you play.
The other thing with the Bears is their turnover ratio is bananas. Their turnover differential. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that is a variable stat, but they get a lot of turnovers. So that kind of, you know, those extra possessions definitely help. So Christian, they didn't mention it on the broadcast, at least I didn't hear it. So Christian went over 1,000 yards rushing this year.
Did he? I did not.
I think so.
I didn't see that either, but let me see what I got. The thing I have is may not be fully updated yet. Let me see if ESPN has it. So yeah, ESPN only has it through 14 games. I wonder if they have it on his whole thing here.
I had him coming in at 922.
Yeah, so it has to be, because they just haven't updated it yet.
Yeah, that's so, right. So he's with 22. So it's 112 So he needed 88 to get to 1,000. And he came into today with 820 receiving yards, which means he, I'm good at math, which means he likes what he needs. Was it 118 in the next two games to get to go 1,000? If you follow those things, or you think
it's going to be hard, the receiving yards is going to be hard for him, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 60 a game. That is, you know, he's just been great all around. But yeah, again, in games that matter, I think that you're right. That especially hopefully, you know, this is a harbinger of things to come, because you would like for him to be more of a rusher, because I think a lot of it was, you know, we were throwing him the ball so much because, well, Mac back earlier, you know, that was kind of like his security blanket. He wants the ball out of his hand. So
he was like Philip Rivers today.
Right. Yeah.
Not exactly, but that was more the way that he was playing. Was the second I get a pass rusher even coming close, I'm dropping that thing out of there.
And since they could not run it at all, they were trying to throw the ball to Taylor. But yeah, I hope that this wasn't just an indictment of the Colts, in that they found something in terms of being able to, because that will help. That would definitely help if we can have some semblance, at least against the Bears, you know, because it's a, you know, running against that Seattle defense is a whole other, doing anything against Seattle is, you know, a chore. I mean, unless you've got like Puka Nacua. But yeah, so we don't have to worry about that until we get there. That Chicago game is going to be very, very exciting.
Yeah, the Seahawks have the third best runs against or yards against per game in rushing. And, you know, they can throw the football. They score points. They don't give up a lot of points. Like, they're just a very well-rounded team.
Football team. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mentioned the Bears being 11-2 since week three. So we beat the Seahawks all the way back in game one. They are 12-2 since then. So we're playing two teams upcoming that have just been super hot. And, you know, the Niners have been super hot as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really good. Great scheduling, NFL. Like the Niners themselves, they since the Rams loss, they've really the one that I went to, of course. They've reeled off five in a row. So, you know, you're talking about three teams that are playing probably their best football all season long, heading into the end of the year. So, good stuff.
Yeah, and it's going to be an exciting close to the season. It has all the makings of, you know, there's still a lot of things to be settled, which is awesome, because it's not like that every year. And, you know, there's sometimes where you get a bunch of duds heading into, you know, into week 17 and 18.
All right. Anything else you want to discuss before we drop off? And we'll be back Sunday evening after Niners-Bears. Will be a fun one.
Yeah, it will be a fun one. We are Monday night, Sunday night, and if we both can manage to win, I would imagine, you know, the schedule. You always love it when your schedule, when you've got the TBD next to your last game of the season. So I would imagine that if we win next week and Seattle wins next week, that's going to get flexed into Sunday. They don't really flex Monday night, but that would probably be the last Sunday night game of the year, I would imagine.
Is there even a Monday night game in week 18 or week 17? Or week 18?
Yeah,
I feel like everything is on Sunday because they want to set the playoff schedules.
You're probably right. Yes, you are 100% right.
Didn't they do that last year where Detroit and Minnesota had to play in the last week of the season to determine the division? Mm-hmm. And then didn't they have to play like the very next week in the wild card or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly. Oh, okay. I normally just look at our schedule, but everybody's TBD for week 18. Yeah. So nobody has a time set. So that's cool that they have given themselves maximum flexibility in terms of, you know, getting the best matchups in prime time. Because I'm looking at the schedule now. There are a lot of potentially good games. Our game could mean something. That Bucks Panthers game could be mean something. That Ravens Steelers, you know, again, call it what you want, but I mean they it could matter. That Colts, well, not at this point. I was gonna say Colts Texans. Never mind. Chargers Broncos could be something. Yeah, so yeah, there could be a lot of intrigue week 18, and I think that we are in a position that, like I say, if the Bears and us both win next week, that would be the marquee game of the week, I think.
So Christmas Day, you have the Cowboys and the Commanders are the early game, rough one. You have the Lions and the Vikings, the afternoon game. And you have the Broncos and the Chiefs in the evening game. The Chiefs on their third quarterback in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and it was there, you know, against the Titans this week. Their injury list was crazy. Nobody played. It was like, you want to talk about, I was telling my brother, I was like, you know, 1-2-3 Cancun. He was like, yeah, man, it's somebody over there with a sombrero on the sideline. It's over for them. But then, you know, you gotta respect them, because damn, five Super Bowls in six seasons is crazy. That is a crazy run. And, you know, if he's that way sometimes, like you say, when you're on your third quarterback with ACLs 2 weeks in a row for quarterbacks, that's it's a pretty rough go. But yeah, that's,
you know what I'm going to blame, excited. Though? It, you know, mm-hmm. the Patriots Apple TV docuseries, they waited until Brady was done, right? And the Pats were, their whole thing was done. They just put out that documentary series on ESPN on the Chiefs, like before this season started. Like they're still in their thing, and I think that jinxed them. It was eventually they were going to have to pay the piper at some point. I would have said, can we wait until this? Until this thing
exactly.
Is over?
You know who would have waited? Kyle, because he doesn't suffer any of that kind of stuff. And I continue to wonder now that they're doing multiple Hard Knocks. It's just a matter of time before the 49ers get it singularly, or the NFC West gets it. And then the cameras are going to be there. He's gonna be apoplectic. It's crazy how you go out there when I'd go out there to training camp, how anal they were about cameras. Mm-hmm. In terms, you know, anytime that there was any kind of team going on, I saw people literally getting thrown out of there because he just, you know, is just really, really, he doesn't want anything that he doesn't authorize recorded. So I don't know how that's going to work, but yeah.
We read in that book, or that Mike Silver book, where he was saying how they record like every conversation that happens, and they have like the audio thing set up in between rooms so Kyle could hit a button and yell to like one of the rooms. And like, I got to imagine like there's some stuff on some of those tapes where they're like, hey, man, maybe you want to delete that one, that thing that I called that dude that name. Let's delete that one. So before we get out of here, I don't know if you know this. There is a docuseries on the Niners coming out in February. It's on the AMC channel of all the channels to do a sports documentary on. So February 1st and 2nd, called The Rise of the 49ers, a four-part series narrated by Tom Brady, chronicling the team's 81 to 95 dynasty with legends like Joe, Jerry, and Bill Walsh. So I wonder what kind of footage they have of Bill. And supposedly, so it's co-produced by AMC, Skydance, NFL Films, and something called Religion of Sports. I don't know exactly that that production company. Uses rare footage and interviews to explore the legendary era and its impact. And Tom Brady is also an executive producer. So we'll have some Niners stuff to talk about coming soon.
That is interesting because I don't remember what sent me down that hole, but I got nostalgic for Eddie D's story. So I dusted off my The Score Takes Care of Itself, Bill Walsh's book. Mm-hmm. And then, speaking of Tom Brady, they have a real good it's not the forward, but in the first few chapters of the Dynasty book, the Patriots book, The Dynasty, there is the first few chapters covers ownership and how it started. And Eddie D is portrayed very fondly in that how differently he ran the 49ers than his peers or his predecessors. He was, you know, Al Davis gets credit for being a renegade, but Eddie was really a renegade. And I forgot all the stories about the personal debt and the family debt that he went into building that team with no guarantee that this shit was going to pay off. At one point, he's like $50 million in debt. And what if that shit what if they're the Buffalo Bills and not the San Francisco 49ers, and you have leveraged yourself the way he did? But he ran a first-class organization, and he took care of his people. And I, in the climate that we are in now with this current business management team, I long for the days of Eddie DeBartolo.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we'll be back next week talking Niners Bears Sunday night. I hope everybody has a great Christmas, a great holiday. We're only a few days away from all of that, so hopefully you all have a great week, and we will see you next week on another episode of We Want Winners. This is the last episode of the week. I do not think we're going to do a Golden State Hoop episode, though. I know the Warriors also played tonight. The big story is that somehow Draymond and Steve Kerr got into an argument and Draymond had to go back to the locker room. So that'll be quite the story for the morning and all the podcasts and stuff. So, alrighty, we will. We'll be back. I think we're going to try and do a Thompson to Clark at some point next week as well. So not much going on here. I'm glad we got this one in so that we could have a show this week. All right, for Rod, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.